I personally think it's very nice of JP to come to the radio station just for me on a Saturday morning and introduce me. Thanks, JP. Okay, I'll see you later, dude. I think if you heard the news just a while ago, if you're thinking about holding up a church, I don't know if you heard what he said about members of the Baptist Church or the Church of Christ being willing to more so pack heat. You know, you might want to think twice on that one. Okay. I came across this, of course, you know, the things that interest me may not interest you at all, but this is, to me, it's interesting. In the year 1985, there was a study by Lewick, Wakefield, and Briggs, and they showed that participants were more drawn to others of similar intelligence. And we're just talking about personalities here, right? Of course, this makes sense in the study because somebody who struggles to understand complex intellectual topics likely will not enjoy talking about or be interested in those subjects. And somebody whose biggest passions are intellectual pursuits will likely want to discuss their ideas with others who are also very curious and interested. And so when I read that, I asked myself, I said, why doesn't anybody understand me? Is it because I'm I think I just answered my question. Never mind, I just figured it out. Okay, this program is Health Essentials. Hi, I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. The phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I think I was discussing with Alfredo on Thursday. We were discussing a topic in that, I'm not going to tell you his entire story, but a little bit of health challenges and difficulties that have to be turned around. But I was telling him that when you look at the studies of people that have completely been given up for dead, that have been diagnosed with terminal cancer, we're talking about metastatic, stage 4, it's spread from its original location to a different part of the body, which, I'm telling you folks, those have the worst outcomes. I know the oncologist is all too happy to tell you that we'll try a round of experimental chemo. It's the only chance you've got, but you may want to look into that before you do something like that. If anything, it may hasten your exit from this earth. And so what I think of is, what is quality of life? Do you want to go out with a higher quality of life? Well, we all know that we're all going to die at some point, so you might as well live in the meantime, right? But we were talking about these people that had gone into spontaneous remission, meaning they had stage 4 metastatic cancer. They were given over to hospice, which some of them probably were, the doctor said, we estimate 3 days to maybe 2 weeks tops to live. But in these individuals, complete, total recovery. And when I was reading about them, there was one thing that kept coming up that caught my attention. They all said they had this over, they went from, well, I know you know where I'm going with this, but they went from having just desperate anxiety and fear to a sense of peace and happiness. They just felt as if there was no longer any reason to worry or to be fearful. So you know as well as I do that when you feel anxiety on the inside, that destroys your health. It is not worth it to worry about things that you can't change or can't do anything about. I mean, obviously, you have to play the hand that you're dealt. And sometimes you get backed into a corner, but you still have to do the best you can. Obviously, reaching out to God and trusting Him to get you through it is the best option. But also, you got to make a choice not to worry. But these people that completely recovered from terminal cancer, that's called spontaneous remission, which that's probably a term you don't hear very often. But nonetheless, it is possible, although it's probably rare. But wouldn't that be interesting to have a health condition that was very dire, and all of a sudden you were flooded with peace and happiness and joy? I like that very much. But that's one thing they all had in common. Now, I came across this study from Harvard University, and to me, very simple and straightforward. I hope you extract something from it, and when I read this to you, could you just kind of insert yourself in the equation and ask yourself, What am I going to do with that information? How can I use that to help the people around me? At least that's the way I'm thinking of it. I think I want to have a moral responsibility to be of service to you this morning. So just listen to this. Now, this is a secular study, so you can, you know, think of any scriptures that might apply and use them accordingly. Okay, here goes. A study conducted at Harvard University showed that our happiness seems to radiate from us like an energy field. Ah, capable of reaching and impacting the people around us. I like that. Between the year 1983 and 2003, that's exactly 20 years, the team of Harvard researchers, they followed 4,739 volunteers around, and they measured the effects that people's happiness could have on their families, their friends, their neighbors, and their social networks. The study's published results include some truly incredible findings, so just think about this for a moment. Number one, your chances of happiness increase by 42% when a friend lives within a half mile of you gets happy. Do you know what that means? If you have a friend that lives within a half a mile of you and they're happy, then your chances of happiness increase 42%. Do you remember what I said earlier about those that had terminal cancer? When they were flooded with joy and peace, that's when the healing began. So maybe there's a good point there. Number two, it says your chances of happiness increase by only 25% if that happy friend lives a mile away from you. I'm telling you, I can't make this stuff up. So when I go back, they're saying that happiness seems to radiate from us like an energy field. Oh, it's kind of talking like quantum physics now all of a sudden. I think I like that. Particle theory, wave theory. Man, that's my love language. It says siblings who live close to a happy sibling increase their chances of happiness by 14%. Well, that's worth something, isn't it? It says next door neighbors of a happy person, they have a 35% higher likelihood of experiencing happiness. The fact is that happiness is spreadable. And it was even more apparent when the researchers graphed the social networks that they were studying according to each participant's physical location. Every individual in that network was represented by a dot that was colored on a spectrum according to that person's happiness, with the color blue being the unhappy end. You know, that makes sense. If somebody says, hey, why are you looking so blue? Okay. And the other end of the spectrum was yellow, being at the happy end of the spectrum. Rather than a seemingly random distribution of colors like you might expect, similar colors tended to form clusters with each other, indicating that our emotional states are not all that independent of our physical surroundings. So what are you going to do? Well, you might want to surround yourself with the right type of people, right? Let me read this to you from Dr. Christakis. The results were explained by one of the authors of the study, Dr. Christakis, who said, and I'm quoting him, "You would think that your emotional state would depend on your own choices and actions and experience, but it also depends on the choices and the actions and the experiences of other people, including people to whom you are not directly connected. Happiness is contagious." James H. Fowler, his co-author, he added to what Dr. Christakis said by saying, and I quote, "We need to think of happiness as a collective phenomenon. If I come home in a bad mood, I may be missing an opportunity to make not just my wife and my son happy, but their friends." Isn't that interesting? So just being close to a happy friend increases your happiness by 42%? Man, I'll take it. One of the I don't know if you've heard this before, but to me, it's like part and parcel to what I just mentioned about happiness. It's called the theory of social and emotional contagion. You know what contagion is? You're saying like, I like being around that person, they're contagious. Or maybe if it was a negative person, have you ever been around somebody that complains all the time? I mean, every sentence or word out of their mouth, there's a negative connotation. You cannot tell me that is not contagious. Well, how's that going to help improve your health? It's not. What it's going to do is going to drive you into fight or flight, and before you know it, you're going to be filled with high levels of stress hormones. They're going to rip your body to shreds. Stress will kill you. Well, unresolved stress will kill you. Sometimes it's good to have stress. You're surrounded by a pack of wolves, and you look in front of you and say, oh, there's a tree. Maybe I should climb that tree really, really quick. Okay, that's not a good example. Anyway, the theory of social and emotional contagion, it essentially describes how emotions can be shared from one person to another more easily than you would think. Of course, with happiness and being positive being just one facet, the other facet of the other end of the spectrum would be being down and blue and angry and just fill in the blank with a negative emotion. Well, I came across a study right here. One of the most important and widely cited studies on this phenomenon was conducted by Seagal G. Barsadi at Yale University in the year 2002. Barsadi's study was entitled The Ripple Effect. You know, you throw a stone into the ocean or a pond, there's a ripple effect, right? So his study was titled The Ripple Effect, Emotional Contagion and Its Influence on Group Behavior. Now listen to this right here. To me, this is just too cool. They went to a business school, and the study participants were students, and they were broken up into small groups for a simulated management exercise. So maybe someone's listening that's a manager of a telemarketing company or an insurance agency, or maybe you're a manager at Walmart or Target, something like that. Each student was asked to role play a department head who would advocate for their employee to get as large as a merit-based bonus as possible. At the same time, see, they're working toward the goal. We want to get a big bonus, so how do we do that? All the students were expected to work together in a committee, and they determined how to best allocate a limited pot of funds in a way that would provide the most overall benefit to the company. You know, they're just sitting down saying, hey, what's the best way to spend this money that's going to help us all move the needle forward? Now, this is the tricky part that I liked. Unbeknownst to the study participants, there was also an actor inserted into each of the four groups who was trained to convey one of four different mood conditions. So in one of the groups, well, their plant or their actor came across with cheerful enthusiasm. In another group, he or she acted with serene warmth. In the third group, well, the actor, they exhibit hostile irritability, which I don't know many people that experience that during the coronavirus COVID-19 stuff. And in the fourth group, they had an actor that tried to exhibit as much depressed sluggishness as humanly possible. So let me ask you the question, how much do you think the emotional state portrayed by that single actor and each group could impact all the unaware students during the negotiation on how to spend the funds? Well, the results revealed a significant effect on emotional contagion. The actors that conveyed cheerful enthusiasm or serene warmth, they spread those feelings to other members of the group, who then displayed much greater cooperation. You ever heard the phrase, you catch more flies with honey than with vinegar? Yeah, I think this is where this comes from. Or maybe they heard that phrase and they designed the study based on that. So the ones that had cheerful enthusiasm and serene warmth, they were the ones that had the greatest cooperation, and they had the least amount of interpersonal conflict. You like conflict? Of course you don't. Well, that's not true. There's some sociopaths out there, and psychopaths. They love conflict. Probably called a narcissist. You know, I've actually been called a narcissist before. I'm not a narcissist. A narcissist is the person that really only cares about themselves. That is not... I don't know how they came up with that, but that's not true. Anyway, in addition, these groups actually made decisions that were allocated the bonus funds more equitably than the other groups, and they reported having more positive feelings about their individual performances and than their counterparts in the groups that were very negative. Anyway, enough of that right there. I've had like two or three people that are trying to call. If you'd like to call and ask a question, please do so. This program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan, trying to adjust the microphone. I do have very long arms, so I may be the only one that can really reach out and push these buttons. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I guess you could do your own experiment today. Maybe you could be very positive and happy around those you love and see if they reciprocate, right? Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you today?
I am good. How are you?
Good. Good.
Oh, you sound so happy today. I like it.
Well, you told me all those things about happy. I thought I'm happy friend. So here I am. I thought about you.
Oh, you're so sweet.
I called you about a lot of things. I called you a couple of years ago about a friend who has psoriasis really bad. And she's taken every kind of shot and done everything in the world, and her little body's covered with horrible things. Is there anything you can suggest?
Do you mind if I ask her age?
I think she's about late 60s.
How long has she had it?
A long, long time. As long as I've known her, and that's been probably 10 years.
So basically, this is a pattern that's just firmly entrenched and it hadn't changed, right?
Right.
Can I give you some crazy ideas?
Of course.
Okay. What if she... Well, if you're going to call me, I'm going to give you something different.
I know that. That's why I called
Anyway,
you.
This is really to encourage her, but I know it's going to sound strange and weird and bizarre, and they're going to go, great, there's no way that's going to work. Dr. Morgan doesn't know what he's talking about. Why don't I go back to the rheumatologist or the skin doctor for the 97th time and try more of the same? I know, that's the definition of insanity. Have you ever heard of a diet called a carnivore diet?
Yes, I have.
And so, for example, if she were to try from... And so, let me start over just very, very briefly. I won't spend a lot of time on this, but the word autoimmunity... That refers to the idea that the person or this sweet lady's immune system, it's attacking her. It's beating the crap out of her skin. It's causing massive inflammatory damage. And so what we want to do is we want to find a way to put a stop to that. And so one of the techniques that has been used to try to quiet the immune system so it won't overreact to everything is to give the digestive tract or the lining of a gut, of the gut, her gut, a rest for just a few days. And one of the ways of doing that is going on a carnivore diet. So it's not like the psoriasis, we could probably massively clear that up if she did a 21-day water fast. But that is a little bit much for the average person to wrap their head around. Now, if somebody walked in my office and said, Dr. Morgan, I'm desperate, I'm going to die, then that's an easy recommendation because they say, I'll do anything. I want to try to turn this around. So a 21-day water fast where they go into the jungle of Costa Rica and they live in a hut for a while they just drink water and listen to birds and monkeys howl, then they can do it. But in your friend's case, she could very easily try what's called a carnivore diet. So I'm only telling you the things that I like. I think that I genuinely feel really, really good when I eat certain types of fish. I think if I were to break down the top two or three, I'd have to say halibut, flounder, and those are actually easy to come by.
Right.
Personally, I'm the only one that walks down that frozen food aisle at Walmart and buys the stuff. Everybody else is over there where they have Totina pizza rolls and chocolate mango fruitcake. I made that last one up. That didn't even. But if your friend could go on just a strictly a meat diet, like a carnivore diet, the reason I said fish is by far and away, along next to wild game like elk or deer or wild chicken. I think that's called a prairie chicken. Never mind. So if she could try something like that, she might notice after 3 to 4 days that she starts to all of a sudden see a clearing of her skin.
So she's only going to be eating meat, is that right?
Bingo. I mean, for a season. It's like anything else. I'm not trying to suggest for eternity, but for a short season. But it may start to give her some insight as to what's not working right. The other thing that I like very, very much, and so have you ever heard the term leaky gut syndrome?
Yes.
Well, guess who you know has it? Your friend with psoriasis. She probably has it quite severely, and probably what's happening, and part of this component is, when she eats food, and I'm just going to choose, I'm going to choose a substance here. I'm going to say wheat. And when she eats, like, bread or crackers or, you know, pizza crust, the undigested wheat is passing through the lining of her gut because it has lost its integrity. It's broken down. And when this undigested wheat protein gets into her bloodstream, her body says, great, what is this foreign protein doing here? And so her immune system is going to start producing antibodies against this foreign protein that's floating around her blood. And guess where it settles? Right there on the skin. And then the body starts attacking it. So everything that she's dealing with is from her own chemical warfare and from her own immune system. We're trying to turn that off. And so with a leaky gut, one thing that you can do is the same thing. Of course, I'm kind of a nut job on this stuff. I love the taste of sauerkraut. But if she were to eat, you know, a forkful of Bubby's sauerkraut, the reason I say Bubby's is because it has not been pasteurized. It's just a raw form of sauerkraut. I think it tastes good. Of course, I might be the only one that says that.
Oh, I've been eating it since you told me about that, and I think it tastes pretty good.
Oh, well, but you're good girl.
Right before my oatmeal.
But what, good job. But what she can do is if she had a little bit of sauerkraut before she ate her ribeye steak for breakfast or her flounder fillets. Man, flounder is like the easiest, along with halibut, to season. You can make it as spicy as you want if you just want salt on it or lemon juice. It is so easy. I think it is anyway. And so she could start.
Oh, nice.
We could start to tap into this, and she could start to turn this around. Now, the other two or three areas that I want to go with this, and this is probably where I'm going to dive more deeply into what she can do nutritionally. I always think that when somebody's got psoriasis, they have a zinc deficiency. And, of course, zinc is literally the cornerstone of the immune system. If I tried to copy the article off last night, but I could not get my printer to work. I don't know what its deal was. I tried four different ways. It just wouldn't do it. But I was reading that when a child is very low in zinc, they are the most vulnerable to developing dyslexia. And I realize this is a broad, complex topic, but it has everything to do with the ability of a child to learn and navigate in this harsh world, right?
Right.
I mean, how many people have you come across in your lifetime that have had some form or another of dyslexia?
Quite a few, actually.
If I were guessing right now, I would probably say in the hundreds. And maybe some of them you knew and some of them you didn't know. But, you know, maybe someone that's very interested in teaching, you would be able to say, okay, they're having a hard time getting this. Well, they may have dyslexia. Well, they're showing now that if a person's low in zinc, a child, you know, they're not going to have the same opportunity as someone that's got plenty of zinc. Anyway, it just shows how those cells in the brain change without enough zinc, and so it's harder to learn. I know that's too simple, but when a person's low in zinc, the body does not heal. The skin especially doesn't heal. And if you want to call the skin that covers the outside of her body her outer skin, and then call the lining of her gut her inner skin, I would be totally in agreement with that. But the lining of the gut becomes so much thinner and more brittle and hyperpermeable and leaky when you're low in zinc. So I'm going to kind of, have I hit the zinc topic long enough? the other couple of things that I want her to think of There are two organs. Actually, I should say one's a filter and one's a gland, and the other one's a gland too. One is called the thymus gland. The thymus gland is the largest gland of this woman's immune system. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is not working right. It ain't working. Because the thymus gland, when it's working properly, it will secrete what's called a T helper cell and a T suppressor cell. And when they do that, you don't have autoimmune problems because it calms the body down. It says, hey, whoa, 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 don't attack the skin. What are you doing? Stop that. Calm down. The other day, I walked right through poison ivy, barefooted, and I looked around and I said, great. But you know what happened to me? Nothing. But you know, there's other people, if they even look at poison ivy, they're going to get it bad, right?
Right.
Anyway, I was not saying it to brag. I'm just telling you. I walked through it accidentally barefoot and nothing happened to me. So it should have.
Oh, that's great.
Now, right. I can tell you what did happen to me. I leaned over into a very large bull nettle the other day with shorts on, and I had a little reaction. But anyway, her thymus gland is not working right. So that's what we have to get up to speed. And one of the ways of doing that is by taking calf thymus extract. The other thing that I want to hit on is she has the largest filter of her lymphatic system constantly trying to clean the skin is her spleen. Her spleen is not doing its job. And so maybe one of the things that she could think of is not only a carnivore diet or maybe trying to get some zinc and avoiding, you know, I can tell you the number one food that I've seen over and over trigger psoriasis. It's called wheat. Not just any wheat. I mean, if we had a time machine and I could punch in Genesis chapter 18, I really don't know what the time was, but go back with me to Genesis chapter 18 when Abraham is standing in the front of his tent and he looks off in the distance during the heat of the day and he sees three strangers approaching and he goes out there and says, my Lord, if I found favor in your sight, let me prepare some food for you. And they say, sure. Well, I read in the Bible definition, it said, Sarah prepared 32 quarts of finely ground wheat into bread. That's a whole lot of bread if it's 32 quarts, right?
Right.
So, but the wheat back that Sarah had is much different than this genetically modified, hybridized, chemically adulterated version we call wheat today. They're just two different animals. And so there are some people, because of their unique genetics and their geno or phenotypes and blood types, if they eat wheat, it wrecks them. To them, it's pure poison. So your friend with psoriasis, can I just have permission to speak freely with you?
Yes, of course.
Never, ever in 31 years seen psoriasis go away if they eat wheat. Ever. Never. And I've literally had hundreds of patients with psoriasis and eczema. It's not going to go away unless you avoid the very food that's triggering inflammation and just literally beating the lining of your gut to death. And so if we can just accept that and come to terms with that, then we can start off with a brand new life and a brand new narrative. Now, in my fantasy world, you know what I would do with her right now? I would pick her up and transport her to some ocean. I'm just going to say the Caribbean for simplicity. You know, where the water's turquoise and blue and it's warm and salty. And I would make her get in the salt water every day for 2 weeks. We could clear all this up. It'd be the best that her skin's ever been. And she would call me on the phone and say, Dr. Morgan, you're a genius. Nobody understands you. And I go, yeah, you're right. Nobody does understand me. If only I could find somebody as smart as... Never mind. I got off track there for a second. Let's get back to the topic. But she's got a lot of options. She could start rubbing extra virgin olive oil or coconut oil all over her psoriasis.
Okay.
Let her skin drink it up. She could actually start making herself some fresh lemon water every day or maybe some fresh juice from lemon and ginger just to drain all this toxic filth out of her body. I know I sound kind of abrupt when I say these things, but she's just full of toxic debris and waste. We gotta find a way to get her liver and kidneys and bowels to kick it out. You know what? That's what people tell me over again. I tell them to their face. I say, okay, let me tell you what the side effects are of trying to fix your thymus and your spleen. They say, oh, Dr. Morgan, I'll do anything you say. And then I say, you're going to have jet black poop. It's going to stink like all get out. And they're going, well, I don't want that. And I'm going, well, would you rather have the toxins stay inside of you? And they say to me, why, no, I would not. I would just assume that poisonous filth leave my body. And I'm going, good call. But at least I kind of prep them for it and tell them what to expect.
That's a good idea.
Don't you think we should aim high with this young lady and try to help her have gorgeous, beautiful skin?
Oh, that would be wonderful.
You know what I wish I could do? I wish I could have my servant by the name of Gehazi go out and say, my master says go dip in the River Jordan 7 times. But mm-hmm. I can't do that. My name's not Elisha. Do you remember what
not
it said about... I'm sorry,
go ahead. Not even your middle name?
No, that's Alan. No. It's kind of kind of dull and boring.
Mm.
So if you take... What do you come up with? If you take Roy and Alan, you come up with Royal.
That's good to me.
You have to leave a little bit off there. Do you remember what the passage said about Naaman when he came up out of the Jordan the 7th time? His skin was like what?
Oh, it was all clean. I'm not forgot exactly.
You're completely right. Yes, exactly. He had the skin of a child. Could you imagine when he came back home how his wife touched his arm and said, "Oh my goodness, I think I'm touching a baby's bottom."
Mm.
Well, and that's just an analogy, you know, for soft, super soft skin. Of course, if there was a Anyway, but you've got plenty to work on here for your friend. What a good friend you are.
I do. Well, I just hope she'll listen, but I'll do my best to.
Well, if she doesn't, can I tell you what my plan B is?
What's that?
Now, this one has worked every time. If you go to the hardware store, on the back shelf, they have the old bottles. They're in these dark brown with a cork on the top of it. It's called chloroform.
Mm-hmm.
And you pour it into like a cotton cloth. And then you sneak up behind them and you put it on over their nose, and when they breathe it in, they pass out.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can just take them to the Caribbean island, drop them off, and say, hey, you're stuck here for 2 weeks. Go ahead and get well. You got to rip them out of their environment. Most people, they're mad. They're really angry at first when you do that, especially when you throw them in the back of a black van on the way to the airport. But, you know, they'll get over it, won't they?
You're so creative. No wonder you're so... The brilliance comes out in your creativity, I have to say.
Oh, wait a second. Are you saying that you can relate to me? I just found somebody to finally understand. thank you for your phone call. You're such a good friend to her. And you know what? She's nuts if she doesn't do this. Because,
yes, she is.
Because it's beautiful healing. I want her to experience the joy of having beautiful, soft, clear, clean skin that she can hug a baby or a child or hug somebody else.
That would be wonderful.
Wouldn't that be one of the great experiences of life? Yes.
Yes, it would.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Mm.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for your phone call. I really appreciate you bunches.
I appreciate you more.
More ways than one. Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Bye-bye. Oh, I'm hoping everybody has a good Labor Day weekend. You know what? Maybe this weekend can be used to kind of rejuvenate and recharge your batteries. Get your strength back. Every so often, I'll ask a person, do you actually get your strength back when you have a couple of days off? And, you know, some people say no. I have to force myself to go to work. Well, I'm going, that ain't good. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you?
Pretty good. I have a quick question.
I detect a little bit of happiness in your voice. But go ahead,
yeah,
ma'am. Go ahead, young lady.
I'm a happy camper.
Can you tell me what letter your first name begins with, just so I can write that down in my notes?
No, I'm sorry. I cannot divulge that information.
Oh, I get it. I told you my name, but you won't tell me yours. Okay. Go ahead, ma'am.
Rectamundo.
Okay. I think I know where we're going. Anyway.
Okay, I have a fascia done. I think that's how you say it.
you know, one of those deep massager.
Yeah, guns. Like a fascial release.
Yeah, that's it.
Fascia.
Fascia.
Okay. Potato, potato.
Potato, potato. Okay, anyway, I have one of those, and I also have a sauna. So I was wondering, would it be good for me to either use this before or after the sauna?
Before the sauna.
Before the sauna.
Yeah, because what you're doing is when you do a deep, and actually one of the oldest techniques around is called Rolfing. Have you ever heard of Rolfing?
Yes.
Now, I am not trying to make a joke here, but when I was in chiropractic college, there was a young man that sat right behind me, and he had a very serious look on his face all the time. He was a Marine. His name was Thomas. And Thomas could win a steering contest with anyone. You could never defeat him. And one day, Thomas, he looked like he was rather disturbed. I mean, more so than usual. I said, Thomas, what's up? He said, I went for some Rolfing last night. I said, what happened? He says, I felt like all my tissues were completely ripped to shreds. And I said, well, was it worth it? He said, well, I'm going to find out. Maybe I should call him like 35 years later and ask him, Thomas, did the Rolfing go well? I'm telling you, Thomas was something else. But anyway, Rolfing is very, very deep, deep, specific massage or release techniques where they're trying to release the fascia. Sometimes what I'll do, if I have someone laying on my exam table, I will try to pretend that my hand is like the talon of an eagle. I'm just joking when I say that. But I'm trying to grip the skin and see if I can pull away from the muscles. Well, when the fascia is very, very sticky and inflamed, you can't do that, and it just kills a person. They literally can't even tolerate someone trying to gently pull their skin from there. It makes it sound like I'm trying to rip it off. That's not what I'm doing. But you can tell when the fascia needs to be released. But sometimes it has great, great value. But I would do the Rolfing first, and then the sauna next.
All right, and so I would get better benefits.
Yes, ma'am. Because so just the idea of you're trying to release all the... Okay, I'm not trying to be overly personal.
Okay.
But there's a real thing called PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. There's even a book called The Body Keeps Score. I think the guy's name is Dan Van Leeker Holken Flocken Gooken. I can't pronounce it, but anyway. But he talks about how when you have traumas, whether it's emotional or physical, that these toxic emotions can stay built up in the muscles. And so massage or Rolfing or fascial release is one of the ways to release that. But if you do that first and then get into a sauna, you're helping overcome evil with good. You're trying to let the bad stuff leave your body. Even old trauma from the past, which I know we're all not the same. Everybody's got their own experiences. But, I mean, wouldn't you say that maybe you've had just a smidgen of trauma from the past, maybe?
Yeah, just a tiny bit, just a tad.
Well, I would probably have a tad less than you. But anyway, but this would be one of the ways that you could work on yourself. And I actually think this is a beautiful, beautiful thing. You are a beautiful human because you want to help yourself. I'm giving you an A+ on your report card today, young lady.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Morgan, and thank you for that valuable information.
You're welcome. And my final note I'll say off the air, so don't listen to it, okay?
Okay.
I know on purpose you were being evasive about your name because you don't want to reveal your true identity, but I can overlook that. I mean, there may be a glitch in your personality that needs to be addressed. I'm joking. That's a joke. If you would like to join me on the radio, there's plenty of time left in the program. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Good morning. How are you today? I'm Dr. Morgan.
God bless you, Dr. Morgan.
Oh, well, aren't you sweet? Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you for being there. I have a...
Hang on. I have to write a note real quick. Very sweet lady was the third caller. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm calling it a recipe. But when you was talking to the young lady about the immune system, and you was talking to her about sauerkraut, zinc, thymus extract, extra virgin olive oil, spleen. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where am I going to find that?
Well, if you were to go online, you could type in spleen extract and thymus extract, and you're probably going to come up with a whole bunch of... It's either there, you got to hang out at the meat processing facility in Carthage or Wascom or Mineola.
Mineola, okay.
I'm sure that all the workers would say, what is this lady looking for? She wants a spleen, a thymus?
I have no clue what that is.
The thymus is a gland that's found like on the human, on your breastbone, your sternum. Right there just beneath your neck in the front of your body. Under that bone, the sternum, you have a long two- or double-lobed skinny little gland called the thymus.
Okay.
That's where every ounce of white blood cells goes to learn how to fight infection or cancer.
Okay.
So your thymus is literally the largest gland of your immune system. And it does a lot more than what I'm saying. You know, one of the things that I remember, the thymus gland is the only gland in the body that produces what's called ribonucleic acid. Basically, that means when you can make RNA, your body's going to heal and heal faster and heal some more. Or if you have an injury, your body bounces back pretty quickly.
I know I'm
being overly personal by saying this, but I've had, well, I can't remember now, as soon as I popped open my mouth, it's either 8 or 9 of my patients have come down with the coronavirus. And they tested positive. Now, there may be 2 of them that weren't tested that I know of, but I'm almost positive they had the coronavirus. And so I know for a fact, well, as much as I can call it a fact, I know that I had contact. And there was no way that I could not get the coronavirus. There's just no way I couldn't have. I mean, I'll just leave it at that. And so, but one of the things that I did was, I said, okay, maybe that wasn't the best decision you made there, Roy. So what are you going to do to make sure you don't get the coronavirus? But see, my mindset says, strike while the iron's hot. You do everything you can as fast as you can. You hit it. And so what I started doing is I took a supplement called Conjuplex. And Conjuplex is a product from Standard Process. Now, everybody has been able to figure out what works for them. I've had plenty of time to figure out what works for me. And Conjuplex, that is the stuff that works for me. And so I believe that when you come in contact with a really sick person, I'm not saying this person was real sick, but they were sick enough. And I'm positive it was coronavirus, so... But you got to hit it hard and you got to hit it fast. And so what I did was, I think I took 8 capsules of Conjuplex probably about 3 or 4 times a day. Now, I do have a juicer that's called a masticating juicer. And so what I was doing with the supplement is I was flooding my body with thymus extract because I want my immune system to rise to the occasion, to the challenge. But let me ask you just a simple question. Do you think it would be better for me to take supplements to help upregulate my immune system before I get sick? Or do you think I should wait till I'm 2 weeks into being near death before I take action?
I would say as soon as you feel that you need to do something.
Well, and yes, and what I'm telling you I did is I did it before I felt anything. I didn't even wait, but I know what you're saying. You're saying
just knowing you've been around that.
Exactly.
To get on it.
I knew
right
that's
away.
What you meant. I was just going the other direction for other listeners. But anyway, but yeah, that's I would do exactly what you're talking about. But and as far as I know, I never had one symptom whatsoever. So
that's
I think I successfully, you know, got through the coronavirus. Anyway.
Thank God for that.
Anyway, that's just my idea.
Yeah, my other question is, on the sauerkraut, how much of that you need a day?
Well, I can tell you what happens if you eat too much of it. Exactly.
Okay, how much zinc?
Well, let me ask you a personal question. Do you keep a reasonably good supply of tissue paper or toilet paper at the house?
I have a little bit.
Then you may not want to eat a lot of sauerkraut then.
Oh, okay.
Now, if you want to throw caution to the wind and eat a whole jar of it, then you find out what's going to happen.
I just want to be successful in this.
Well, what is your definition of success? Because I could work it either way. If you want to really clean out, we'll eat a lot of it. But no, I would say I had two forkfuls this morning. I don't ever measure them. I just put my fork in my jar, load that baby up like I'm trying to stack hay in the barn.
Okay. How much zinc?
Well, I try to take a minimum 30 milligrams a day, but if I knew I had contact with, say, the corona, I would probably do 50 to 60, maybe even 100 just for a short season. Now, I know that everybody knows this. I'm not trying to talk down to anybody, but you can take too much zinc. But I have never seen that happen. I've read about it. But I think if you stick somewhere between 30 and 50 milligrams for an adult, it's going to be safe.
Okay. And then the thymus extract?
Well, you need to get some thymus extract and start taking it.
How much a day?
It depends on your situation. That's why I told you that I took eight capsules three times a day or four times a day. I know that's a ton of stuff, but I was trying to give my immune system every opportunity to rise to the occasion and overcome it so it wouldn't become a full-blown infection.
Mm-hmm.
So there's can I tell you a story that a man told me about 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Okay, this man is I'm almost positive he said a major in the Army. Or maybe it was the Air Force. I can't remember now. Isn't that horrible? I'm going to say Army. Okay, Lee, if you're listening, I got it wrong, so just cut me some slack here. But the major was telling me he had open heart surgery, but the side effect of having the open heart surgery is he had this chronic, nagging, annoying pain in his chest. And so he kept asking the doctor, what about this pain? He said, oh, well, you know that happens. That's just a side effect of having the surgery. Don't worry about it. Well, do you want to worry about it? If you have a continual annoying pain, that won't go away. And so after a long time, this man came to see me, and I'm going to call him Robert for short. That's not his real name, I'm certain. But anyway, so Robert says, Dr. Morgan, I cannot get relief. This pain is so annoying in my chest, the doctor won't help me. But anyway, let me just cut to the chase. When I examined Robert, he had a tremendous weakness in what I would call his thymus reflex. And so that's probably like a lot to get into as far as how to determine that. I think it's easy because I have mastered the ability to do that. I'm just joking. But anyway, when I examined his thymus, it tested very, very weak. And I said, Robert, here's what we're going to do. When I gave him calf thymus extract, every ounce of his pain completely went away, as if it was a magical, you know, somebody waving a wand over him. That's just a figure of speech. I don't believe in magic. And he was telling me that story the other day. He said, Dr. Morgan, he says, do you remember all that chest pain I had is gone? Well, that's just a beautiful description of his thymus gland was actually removed. But just because it was removed when he had that open heart surgery where they, you know, cracked his rib cage open and spread that sucker apart, doesn't mean I'm not going to give it to him. I do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody has a gland removed and they've got problems because of it, I give them gland replacement therapy. I just made that term up. That's going to be my new book, Gland Replacement Therapy. So if there's anybody you know out there that doesn't have a brain, guess what I might give them? Some brain extracts. I'm joking about that. But I gave him thymus extract and all his chest pain went away.
That's wonderful.
Totally cool. I feel good for him.
Oh, I do too. Okay, on the extra virgin extract and the spleen extract.
What are you asking me?
How much to take?
Well, you need to just start rubbing some olive oil on your skin and let your skin drink it up. I think you'll figure out real quick how much you can get away with and how much is too much.
Okay.
If a man hugs you at church tomorrow and you slip through his arms and hit the ceiling, I would say that's a bit much. If your skin is too dry afterwards and it looks chalky, I'd say that's too little.
Okay.
So just use your imagination. Rub some olive oil on your skin. Let your body drink the oil up.
Okay. Sounds good. And I drink the lemon water every day.
You drink
usually all during the day. Fresh lemon water.
Good. Just make sure it's not tap water. That would be toxic.
Oh, no. Bottled water.
If you want to destroy your health, drink tap water. That's a good way of doing it.
I know that is so very true. Okay.
Well, thanks for your phone call.
And the spleen extract, just...
Yeah. If you have a hard time, if you will call my office, I'll tell you exactly how to get it.
Okay. That'll work.
I'll make it easy for you, okay?
Okay.
Thank you so much, ma'am.
I appreciate it. And you have a good weekend.
Oh, you too. Bye-bye.
And holiday. Bye-bye.
Oh, thanks a bunch. Bye-bye. All right, there's time for another phone call here. I think I've got like 7.5 or 8 minutes, give or take. The number's 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I was wondering, I've had chronic constipation my whole life. And I've tried all kinds of different things. My gastroenterologist prescribed Miralax every day, but I'm just not comfortable using that every day.
Do you know what Miralax is?
Well, I know it's a laxative that draws water into the gut.
Well, I was gonna break it down and tell you what it really is. It's antifreeze you put in your radiator. That's all it is.
Oh my goodness!
It's antifreeze. So if you don't, I'm not telling you to go to Walmart and buy a bottle of antifreeze and drink it. That's not what I'm suggesting. But I guarantee you, the moment you put the antifreeze in there, even if it's a small amount, your body's going to say, "What the heck is this? Let's kick it out as fast as possible." But that still doesn't fix your problem. So in the time that we have, can I just kind of break it down for you pretty quickly?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm gonna move fast. Is that all right with you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there is a hormone called motilin. It plays a role in that peristaltic wave-like contractions. It's based on water consumption, so you got to make sure that you're hydrated. I know you know that already.
Yes, sir.
Number two, the liver has been shown to contract and squeeze bile into the intestines when you consume either fat or you drink a cup of coffee. I'm not saying everybody's identical, so I don't mind if you drink coffee in the morning. But what I might try to retrain your bowels to move better is try lubing you up big time. So instead of rubbing extra virgin olive oil on the outside of your colon, I'm going to give you like a tablespoon of it in a glass of water or lemon water every 15 minutes until you have a bowel movement.
Okay.
You might do that up to 4 times each morning. But what you're doing is you're taking a sluggish liver and gallbladder and bile duct, and you're helping them contract more efficiently, and that's when they start pushing bile into the intestines. And when bile hits the intestines, that is the number one factor that predicts moving bowel movements out of your body. So that's a big deal right there. The other thing that you can do very simply, if you have a blender, you could throw one fresh raw beet in the blender with about 8 ounces of unfiltered apple juice, the juice of one lemon, and maybe 1 or 2 tablespoons of olive oil. Blend it up and drink it down first thing every morning. That would be one way of doing it. Another way is if you had a juicer. The type of juicers that I like are fairly inexpensive. You can get a really good one for $100, which I know that's not cheap, but it's not $1,000 like some of the top of the line, or $2,000. They're called masticating juicers. But if you would take celery, maybe a couple carrots, a green apple, one lemon that's been peeled, and maybe 1/4 to 1/3 to 1/2 of a ginger root fresh, and drink that every morning, that would promote what I would call drainage. Drainage is the concept by which your body starts moving the toxic debris out of you. Now, I was kind of joking with a lady that called just before you, and she said, how much sauerkraut should I eat? But sauerkraut, whether it's olives or chocolate, I think even red wine has been tested to be this way, or sauerkraut, these are all prebiotics. But sauerkraut is so good at helping to condition and heal the lining of your gut, you'd be nuts not to try some.
Mm-hmm.
Just eat a big forkful before every meal.
Okay.
You know what the number one question I get from people is? They say, can I put that on a hot dog, Dr. Morgan?
I don't usually eat hot dogs.
Oh, well, you would be the first person that didn't ask that. Way to go. But, you know, there's a time that a person could be somewhat, desperate for improvement. But one of the oldest techniques of all time, have you ever heard the term of renal dialysis?
Yes.
That refers to a technique to help somebody that has kidney failure.
Mm-hmm.
There's an old school term is called coffee dialysis. It's a way to cleanse all the impurities of your body, but it's called a coffee retention enema. I am not going to explain over the radio how to do that in great detail, but you could probably go onto YouTube and type in coffee retention enema. But I'm telling you, it may be a lifesaver for you as we start mm-hmm. the process of trying to heal and retrain. Then probably the last thing that you need to really focus on is you've got to really aim high when it comes to strengthening your core and your hip flexors and your muscles. If mm-hmm. there's poor muscle tone in your abdominal, then it's not going to take. I would say allergies to dairy is the number one cause of constipation from the category of, am I allergic to something?
Oh dear, I love milk.
Ma'am, I didn't want to say anything, but when I first heard your voice, I said, she's hiding a dark, dark secret from me. I'm going to keep probing her until she tells me what it is. I just discovered your weakness.
Mm.
Did I see you at the drive-thru of Chick-fil-A yesterday ordering 3 milkshakes, ma'am? Tell me the truth.
No. No, sir.
Oh, okay. That was somebody else, right?
I try to eat healthy. So.
Well, this person ordering 3 milkshakes, they had big red hair and freckles. So that wasn't you?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Never mind. Moving right along. Okay. But you've got your work cut out for you. And if you'll try these things from the mineral kingdom, you got to work the magnesium.
Yes. That's what I was going to ask, too. I take 400 milligrams of magnesium, but I don't know how much is too much.
Double it.
Okay.
Well, it's magnesium. It almost has no toxicity, and literally magnesium is one of the greatest mineral deficiencies in America right now, probably the world too. Just think of it this way: what are all the wonderful, wonderful things that my body can do if it just has enough magnesium to get the job done? Well, the answer is you might be able to completely live a life of high quality bowel movements. I'm going to need you to send some high-quality, high-resolution pictures of your success to the radio station. Is that going to be a problem? Because, man, you need to think of this like you're going to encourage and help other people. That's the only reason I'm saying this. Now, personally, I would not do that, but I don't mind making you do that.
Okay, I may pass on that.
Ma'am, you need to think about your fellow man and woman. No, I've given you really some great things to do, and so just take this to heart, pray about it, consider it thoughtfully, and see if we can't correct this and restore your life to where you have great elimination of waste.
All right, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for your phone call. I hope you have a great weekend, ma'am.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm sorry, folks. We're completely out of time. I was going to give out Randy Featherston's cell phone number so she could send pictures to him, but we just don't have enough time to cover that.